Hi, I'm Kevin Barrett, and I walk the line for truth. If you want to help keep these shows on the air, become a subscriber at truthjihad.com. That's truthjihad.com.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Welcome to Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, telling you all the news that's unfit to print in the New York Times and the rest of the corporate mainstream media. Big news from Amsterdam. There is a fantastic-looking conference there that is getting a whole lot of pushback, not surprisingly, because, well, there's a little bit too much truth on display there, as far as I can tell. This is the Open Mind Conference in Holland. That's coming up very, very soon. I'm actually recording this on the evening of June 5th. The conference takes place over the weekend of June 6th and 7th, and it includes a bunch of my favorite people, Ken O'Keefe, Ole Damegaard, Christopher Bolin will be there, Ian Crane, and some others. So I just wish I could be there. But there are some other folks who not only wish I couldn't be there, but wish everybody couldn't be there. That would be the people who are trying to torpedo the conference. And here to talk about this outrageous censorship is Ole Damegaard. Welcome, Ole. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's very kind of you to have me on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We're just going to do kind of a brief segment here because I know you need to get some sleep and get ready for this big conference. But isn't it interesting that this particular conference, this Open Mind Conference, is getting so much push? I thought everything goes in Amsterdam. You could do anything you want in Amsterdam. I don't even want to talk about some of the things that people do openly in Amsterdam. But apparently you're not supposed to tell the truth in public.
This is why this is so beautiful, because it just shows how extreme the forces are behind the scenes. I mean, we're in Amsterdam now. This is the center of free speech and the most laid-back capital in the world. And then we come in peace. We come with the intention of a beautiful future for all of us. And we stand in the name of truth. And then we're being hammered, being called anti-Semitics and Holocaust deniers and all of it. It's been in the main newspapers, especially one newspaper that has really gone for it. They, especially Christopher Bolin, is the one they've targeted. And it came to a point where the building where this whole event was supposed to be, the owners of that, they pulled back because the synagogue that they were close by had put a lot of pressure on them. And I think the mayor of Amsterdam as well. I'm not sure about that, but as far as I know, they also put pressure on this thing, so they pulled out. They put sort of like an ultimatum: either Christopher Bolin leaves, I think maybe some of the rest of us as well, or they will have to shut it down. The police have been checking out the people, but when they saw who was there, they turned, instead of hostile, they turned really friendly and offered to help instead. But also there's so now the organizer, who's a whistleblower himself, Willem Velderhof, a beautiful guy who's he used to be a commercial pilot, and then he found out a lot of the major problems with toxins coming into the cabin in commercial flights and so on. He was a whistleblower for, I think, 10 years or something. He's been fighting for this, and he's the organizer of this Open Mind Conference. But he has now regrouped and found another place outside Amsterdam where we're going to meet tomorrow. It's going to be really, really interesting, because not only have it been in the media, a lot of this whole thing, but also there's a female government official. Her name is Yasmina Haifi. She's working for the Justice Department, the Division of Terrorist Prevention.
Right. And she openly said that ISIS has been created by the West and the Zionists. Exactly.
And she is now prohibited to visit the conference under the threat of losing her job. Oh, she's not even allowed to speak to any press. you know, and her support website on Facebook and the petition site is being attacked, blocked, and censored, and it's just incredible. And also the ticket sale system online has been attacked several times, doesn't work, and it's just chaos. But in the center of this storm is this group of us, you know, Willem, Ken, Christopher, all of us, you know, very calm. Just we come here to speak truth, and we're here in peace, you know. And it's just really a beautiful experience to be in it. So, but who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? It's so that's why I need a good night's sleep, and so that we can meet this imbalance, you know, because it's so important if we are being lured into like an ambush, you know, provocateurs in the audience, or suddenly somebody's going to start talking about the, or asking questions about the Holocaust, or things like that. You know, these type of questions where you know that it's an ambush, and whatever you say, they will take you down with the answers. It's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen.
And I think they were saying that Bolin is a Holocaust denier, supposedly, because they say that he was once asked about the Holocaust, and he mentioned that the people of Dresden were all burned alive by Allied firebombing, and some, you know, Hamburg, and of course Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or something like that. And of course, simply by pointing that out, they apparently believe that he's not a true believer in the official Holocaust religion that says the only sacred deaths that really matter from World War II were the deaths of Jews supposedly gassed by the Nazis.
I've recently done a 2-hour interview on Red Eye's Creations about the Holocaust, about not being a denier, just looking at the evidence. And
well, that is being a denier, according to some people.
well, okay, I'm a denier of the official version. That is for that is totally sure.
A denier of the religion. It's not, you know, it's history. It's not religion. I deny that it's the one true religion.
But this has nothing to do with religion. I'm looking at this as a criminal case. I mean, we've got lots of people dying. And so just like with any other criminal case, I look at the evidence, I look at the testimonials, I look at the logic behind the whole thing, and here, and if there's any cover-up, and here it's just like unreal, the dimension of the whole thing, you know, the magnitude of the lies and the numbers that does not and make any sense at all. And so I'm just looking at this objectively without any... I mean, for me, it doesn't matter if you're yellow, blue, red, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, Gypsy, Christian, Catholic, whatever. I'm totally not interested. If you've got a good heart, you're the one. But here we're looking at crimes on a very big scale, and also crimes that are being used as a protection mechanism around. Surrounding a lot of the very bad things that are going on in the world today. And I think, just like Voltaire said, if you want to find out who controls you, or who is the people behind the scenes that are controlling your life, look at the ones you're not allowed to criticize. And here we are, I know in several countries, I think as in Holland as well, if you start raising questions about the Holocaust, that's the only one you cannot even ask questions about. You can end up in jail. And that is in my book, is absolutely not okay. We need to be able to at least ask questions, look at history. And in my book, once again, fears no investigation. The truth stands freely, you know. But here, you're not even allowed to ask questions. So that, it's very smelly, you know. And I think... The more reason to look into these things.
Well, I have to agree. The more I look into that one, the more I think that there needs to be a serious reconsideration of that, a real investigation into World War II history. It's not just the Holocaust issue, but it's the whole issue of World War II that we get in the mythologized version, in this heroic mythology of the great Allies defeating the evil Nazis. seems to be a kind of a justification for all the war crimes going on today. So it does need to be taken down a few pegs. Well, it's a real tribute to you guys that they had to try to shut you down. It seems like there's extra pushback these days that, you know, I'm getting it left, right, and center. I just was refused entry into Canada. And the president of France is calling for the ban on conspiracy theories, and his think tank is naming me as a leading conspiracy intellectual, and people are attacking me all over the place. I'm now getting all kinds of harassing communications from a guy I tried to invite on the radio over at the University of Michigan, who's a Jewish Zionist guy who's been attacking the people who are picketing the local synagogue over there. So it seems like the controversy is really going up, and it's because the people are worried, that the people in power are worried that their lies and myths are starting to crumble.
I totally agree. It's but the thing is, it's beyond the tipping point now. They cannot stop it, and this freaks them out. I think this is why they try to do these very not wise moves, because it would have been a lot better for them just to totally neglect what is going on here these days, because then nobody would have noticed. You know, we would have just done this conference, a few hundred people would turn up, and that's it. But now instead, this is going to be exposed globally, because I've sent it out to at least 50 different radio stations, and I know a lot of other people have put it out in their networks and so on, because it's a matter of, this is the real thing about freedom of speech. You know, we're talking about other areas where these false flag operations like Charlie Hebdo and Copenhagen, they say that that is about freedom of speech, but this is the real thing. And so this is very important. I really think that I feel blessed and honored to be part of a small little event that I think can become part of history, you know, that is part of taking a step, major step forward.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your great work, Ole Damgaard, and I hope to get contact info at some point for Yasmina Haifi. If you could help me with that, that would be great.
Okay, I'll do. I'm sure I can get that. And if I can, maybe tomorrow I'll see if I can get in touch with you. Maybe we can do something direct from the conference.
That would be great. Okay, we'll have a good conference, get a good night's sleep beforehand, and keep up the great work. Ole Damgaard of lightonconspiracies.com.
Can I just add also that it was supposed to be Saturday, Sunday. Now the Sunday, because of all of these problems, will be out in a public park instead, because of all of these things are happening. So anyone who's in Amsterdam, please come to the open park. It's totally free, and there we will be mingled with everyone and answer any questions or help in any possible way we can.
Okay, and where do people go on the web to find out where they can attend this, both Saturday and Sunday?
It's if you go to the openmindconference.nl, mm-hmm. That's for Holland, openmindconference.nl, there should be info about all of these things. Also, you can search it on Facebook and so on.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks, Ole Damgaard of lightonconspiracies.com. Keep up the great work. Talk soon.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui chantent, rêveurs qui déhantent au large d'Amsterdam. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui dorment comme des oriflammes le long des bergements. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui meurent plein de bière et de gras aux premières lueurs. Mais dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui naissent dans la chaleur épaisse des longueurs océans. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui mangent sur des nappes trop blanches des poissons ruisselants, et ils vous montrent des dents à croquer la fortune, à décroisser la lune, à vous fêler au banc. Et ça sent la morue jusque dans le cœur des frites, que leur bosse m'invite à revenir en plus, puis se lèvent en riant dans un bruit de tempête, referment leurs braguettes et sortent en rotant. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui dansent en se frottant la panse sur la panse des femmes, et ils tournent et ils dansent comme des soleils crachés. Dans le son déchiré d'un accordéon danse, ils se tordent le cou pour mieux s'entendre rire, jusqu'à ce que tout à coup l'accordéon expire. Alors le geste grave, alors le regard fier, ils ramènent leur patave jusqu'en pleine lumière. Dans le port d'Amsterdam, il y a des marins qui boivent, et qui boivent et reboivent, et qui reboivent encore. Ils boivent à la santé des putains d'Amsterdam, dans beaucoup d'ailleurs. Enfin, ils boivent ton âme, ils leur donnent leur joli corps, ils leur donnent leur vertu, comme une pièce en or. Et quand ils ont bien vu, ils se plantent le nez au ciel, ils se mouchent dans les étoiles, et ils pissent comme je pleure sur les femmes infidèles dans le port d'Amsterdam.